We're on again. Okay. Now, Jane can't hear us, so we'll try and... Oh, she's already open call. Okay, Bartek. I did record some of it, and basically what I was saying is that the whole foundation is really based on the Word of God and how His Word is truth. And what we declare, we're going to receive. And if we declare, if we're in fear and we declare things of fear, we're going to activate the devil. And if we declare faith, which is His Word, we're going to bring God involved. We're going to get God involved. And that it's really that simple, and I think we do tend to complicate it a lot more than it is. So, but if you guys have questions, you have things you want to discuss, because I don't want to just sit here talking the whole time. And you tell me things you've either come across, you know, any hindrances, any problems or whatever, or concerns, and let's just go like that, okay? So, I think Jane, are you still there?
Yep, I got one.
Okay, good girl. What is it?
Well, I got one. A guy in I'll give you a testimony.
Yes.
I prayed for somebody at a department store. She was a checkout lady, a cashier, and I noticed on her wrist she had a bandage, and so right away I thought, oh, she has carpal tunnel, so I asked her, and she said yes, and so I said, I don't know what I said. I said, may I pray with you, or I'm going to pray for you, I said, what I said. And we had a line there, so I laid my hand on her wrist and just commanded it to be healed and all the pain to go in Jesus' name. And then there's a line up there, so I asked her, I'm writing my check out, and then I thought, well, I better ask her how she's doing. So I said, how are you doing? I said, do something with your hand that you couldn't do. So she wiggled her hand, and she goes, oh. She goes, it's better. And I said, great. We kept going. I said, well, how much better? And I said, 10%, 50%. She wiggled again. She goes, no, I think it's all better.
Wow.
So
wonderful.
Kept bringing up the I kept writing my check and finishing the transaction, and then she said her dad just got off life. They just took him off life support.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I asked what was wrong with him, and she said that he had a stroke, and they gave up hope on him, so they pulled him off life support, but he's still alive. So I grabbed her hand. I said, give me your hand. And I prayed, and I said, now you go lay that hand on your dad, and you declare life, and you say you are healed in the name of Jesus. And so anyway, she went from hopeless to having hope, and she got all her pain gone in her wrist.
That's wonderful. So. Good on you, Jane. That's great.
Yeah, so...
What was your question?
But my question then was a guy that I stopped for, an elderly gentleman who's had a stroke, and he can't speak, and he has the whole right side of his body. He can't use his arm, and they push him from the nursing home up to a corner.
Yeah.
Near our house, and every time I see him, I stop if I see him there. So I found out his name, and he recognizes me when I stop, and I just keep praying for him, but I've never seen any improvement, although he's really happy to see me coming.
Lovely.
And every time I see him, I just keep hitting it. So it's been over the last year, maybe I've seen him four times and prayed with him four times.
Okay. And so,
I only see him when he's out there. Look him up in the nursing home and just keep it.
Okay, so what's your question?
Mm-hmm.
What's the question?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. What's the question? Now you're gone. Write out your question if you can hear me. want to write out your question, Jane?
Yeah, I'm back now. I couldn't hear you there for
okay.
a minute.
Okay. All right. What was your question?
Okay. Did you hear any of it?
No. I heard about the man with the stroke and that you're hitting it all the time. But
he's only out. They push him out by an intersection, and every time if I see him out, I will stop by. I will stop. I've made this friendship with him. He can't talk, can't move his right arm.
Yeah.
And he's really happy to see me, but I prayed for him maybe 4 times now. And it's only happenstance when I see him, but I've seen no manifestation of any improvement, although I know when I pray something is happening.
Yeah.
Do I just keep stopping when I see him, or do I go look him up, or what do I do here?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'm sure you're welcome to look him up if he's happy to see you. It's up to you, really, how you want to do that. You know, whether you want to look him up or whether I would suggest, partly because I'm gaining so much from reading Charles Capps, and he's all word, 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 and he's all about releasing the power of the word. And he's, it's just, when you read it, and you start to get that the more I declare the word, the more faith grows. It actually does grow in you, because the seed of faith is in the Word of God. So that I would be doing that in your own daily life anyway. And then when you pray for him, you can actually declare that over him, knowing not, is this my faith good enough, or can I get him out of this position, or can I break this stroke? You're doing it by the Word, and the Word will do its work. And that's
great.
That's what I would say to do. And I'm learning that now. And it's really helping me. It's taking all this pressure off, Jane, of, I got to prove this, or I've got to make sure I've got the faith level, or, No. The word is true, regardless of what I see in front of my eyes. That's why you work, walk by faith, not by sight. But when you have an understanding of how good the word is, how it is unbreakable, unbeatable, impossible to be defeated, it doesn't matter anymore the length of time. I mean, yes, you want them free immediately, because we don't want them suffering, and Jesus paid for that. In the meantime, while I'm learning to get to the standard of Jesus, I am knowing I have got the heart of God in the Word. And nothing, He cannot fail. And I can't fail, let alone when you minister love to these people. And that's what God is showing me, so much about love. And how to, people are not wanting to let go of my hands when I'm not in a place of performance or results or any of that. But I'm in a place of, oh my God, I am looking at this person through your eyes, how you see them. They can feel that love transmitted into their bodies, into their beings, and they don't want to let you go.
Right.
They don't want to let you go. It is amazing. Believers and unbelievers. It's so different than doing it from the check mark box. Okay, how many did I pray for today? How many got healed? How many have instant healings? How many have progressive? How many aren't having anything? No, that is not God's heart. My daddy did.
No, that's performance.
It is, and there's a stream of people that are running around doing the word as if doing the word is only healing the sick. I mean, give me a break. It's also forgiving your enemies. It's also praying for those who despitefully use you. It's also loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and all your soul. That's doing the word too. Laying hands on the sick is only a portion.
Right.
And what the wonderful part of it, is that you can demonstrate the power of God. That's the whole point of it. You demonstrate the power of God. You set the captives free, and then they want to know him. That's what it's about. It's not about healing in and of itself. Yeah. And some people are putting it on a pedestal and making an idol out of healing. And it's gonna come back and bite them on the bottom, because you just can't do that. And it's not helpful for the people that are, what I find is there's so many believers that are so afraid to do this. They so badly want to with all their hearts. They're so frightened. What I try to do is let's get you encouraged and realize that you can do it.
Uh-huh.
And you take your first baby steps, and that's good. And you're going to get praise for that, for doing that, And as you get confidence, Jane, I can't emphasize this enough. These, and I'll write them down. There's a couple of books by Charles Capps, but
I've read a lot of him.
Have you?
I've read a lot of Charles Capps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm finding, you know, I'm discovering him for the first time. And
yeah, I think I started there. I mean, I started in that Word of Faith movement.
Yeah.
And I went from a highly religious environment to a Word of Faith environment that got me learning that healing belongs to us and things like that, which I never had before in my upbringing.
Right.
And so I kind of came up that way and jumped into the Word of Faith movement and then went, well, wait a minute. You know, there's something, there's still something missing. There's still something not right here. You know, so I think it's putting everything all together, all the pieces together.
Right, right. Well, I'm finding as well, that, you know what I love about it? About reading what he says and what I've become, you know, it's like you fall in, well, for me, falling in love with the Word again. And yeah. Because it, the essence of God is in the Word. It's living. It's Him. You know, He was the Word made flesh, you know, and He is the living Word. What I'm finding is it helps Christians, especially Christians who have been having long-term illness, they can then be responsible for their healing, not in a place of guilt, but in a place of hope. Mm-hmm. I actually can get there. Okay, I'm not seeing any results yet, but that does not mean the Word is untrue or the Word is not going to be accomplished in my life. It will be as long as I declare it. And what I found, Jane, I had this amazing experience. I started declaring about something that I was contending. Well, I really stopped contending for a while back. And it's one of those super miracles. Okay. The only way this is going to happen is a super miracle. So you better start contending. Yeah. You know, it's not going to just get dished out on your plate because you're going to have a lot of resistance from the enemy. You're going to have your own resistance in your head and people, blah, blah, blah. So what I did is I started taking scriptures that were applicable to that situation and daily declaring, you know, in that medicine way where you, you know, you take your medicine three times a day. So daily declaring it on a consistent basis. And I found, you know, first 3-4 days, you know, I wasn't getting anything changing really. And then, hi Bartek, we're still here. And then I found, and Jane, you're still there?
Yep.
Okay, good. All right. And then I found on the fifth day, suddenly the Word had taken root in me and I was talking differently naturally about this issue. I wasn't trying to change how I thought. I wasn't trying to deal with my attitude or behavior management. It just happened because the Word was being planted in the soil of the kingdom of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that amazing. I thought, this is so cool, where there's not the efforting. It's not you, you know, manipulating anything. It's simply believing the Word, declaring the Word, and letting it go, letting it do its work. Like the farmer who doesn't know how it happened, his crop grew over, you know, his crop grows. He plants the seed, water, sun, blah, 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 doesn't have a clue. How did that crop of corn come up? Because you're not seeing it happen. And it's the same with the Word, you know, planting it in the soil of the kingdom that He gave us, you know, the kingdom of heaven is in our heart. So I'm just so excited that people then don't have to be dependent on a method, on somebody's teaching, on what so-and-so said. No, it's the Word.
Right.
It's the Word. And if that person's thing doesn't line up with the Word, I don't want to know about it. If it's their personality is a particular bent and it sways or diverges from the Word, I'm not listening. Go away. You know, I don't want that information. So it's very freeing because the Word is steadfast, isn't it? And it's true and dependable and faithful. So if somebody, you know, because things change in the church, doesn't it? You've got trends and you've got seasons. You've got all of this stuff happening at different times and you've got fads, all of that. But the Word is true throughout. And
yeah. There's a lot going on, I'll tell you.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. You know, I'm starting to just pull back from all of that and going, no. I'll just stay clear with the Word. Me and my Word are safe, you know.
Yeah, I just read a post earlier. Someone, it's you know, it's there. It's like this whole. It's all about the presence, and that is it.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing is just presence. and I don't have a response to that because it sounds really good.
Yeah.
But they're missing something. But, you know, and he was even going as far as to say, it doesn't say Father, Son, and Holy Bible. And, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And, like, going,
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Tangent. Woohoo. Warning, you know.
Yep. Red flags. All about the presence and how they feel in the presence. That's all they're.
Yeah.
You know? Yep.
No, it's whenever you, I mean, healing can be a tangent. You know, you can overdo it on that because I've seen people and they, it's like, that's all they do and that's all they talk about and it's everything to them.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
Okay, well, what about relationship with God? Because that's what healing's based on. Are we going to do that? You know, if you, God is so multifaceted, why would he be pinned down like that?
Right.
It just is ridiculous. And we, you know, the problem with it is we each, there's times in our own walk with God where something, it gets highlighted because we're lacking in it.
Mm-hmm.
And God goes, I am shining the light on this one because you just don't know. And I often ask him, all right, Lord, teach me about grace because I don't get that one. Or teach me about righteousness because I just am clueless. And then everything I see is about that. And
right.
He'll show me for a while and I add it to my soup. Because the soup wasn't tasting so good. You know, it was missing the spice there, or it was missing the, you know, potatoes or whatever it was. And I think that if people as Christians realize, no, he's teaching you as you go so that you can have a full meal.
Yeah.
Not just a portion. And that's why I love listening. You know, we're members of a body, for crying out loud. And if you're a member of a body, you're not the whole body. So what you think isn't going to be the whole deal.
Right.
It's just, it's like, get a grip, you know?
Yeah.
focused. None of us have got the whole picture, or we wouldn't need to be many members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what I'm finding, you know, and myself included. It's like, okay, I'm learning certain things that maybe somebody else has already got.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's great. And I want to share it with them. And if it does something, they can go, yeah, oh, man, I didn't realize. Great. If they've already done it and go, no, I'm actually have that as a foundation. I'm going on to this place. Okay, tell me about your place. Where are you going?
Right.
And then I can learn from that. You know, that's why I like this when this Skype thing works, is it's a discussion, too. It's not just me teaching. I mean, God uses me to teach, but hey, other people have a lot of things to contribute as well. You know, that's what it's about.
Yeah, I guess what's been highlighted to me and I'm always going, okay, God, why am I always thrown in this position? Is finding error.
Okay.
You know,
good.
Where the teaching is wrong.
Good.
It's wrong, and a whole bunch of people are being deceived.
Yes.
And it just breaks my heart.
Yeah, I understand.
And then I'm the one who's like, oh, there she goes again.
Pointing out error.
Yeah. So it's just like, I don't know, what's the church I was in before, you know, it was, I got on this whole healing thing because I never knew it before and I got excited about it because that's where my heart was, you know, naturally, helping people.
Yes.
And then, so I got in there, the church I was at, oh no, that's, you know, if it's God's will, you know, I'm like, oh, so I leave and now I'm in a place where they believe in the healing and they're doing so many, much good, but there's error in. Like, can I just give you an example?
Please.
Okay. Like, every service, Holy Spirit come. And I'm like, he's already here.
Yeah.
You know? So, and that it's all about the presence. That's our main focus. That's all that it's about. That's all we're going for. That is our main thing. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
waiting for your presence and let your glory fall.
Well, you know, this is how I look at it. There is the presence of the Holy Spirit in me, but that is not all. I don't contain all of the Holy Spirit. And he can come upon us. He can do both. But I would say this, you need to recognize that he's in you as well. You need both. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking for the presence of God in somebody's life. I've done it myself, and God does. He does. He brings his presence upon them. I also know that I can bring forth the presence of the Holy Spirit through me. So I don't think it should be in contention. You know, it shouldn't be a versus, one versus the other. I think they're both legitimate because, my goodness, do I contain all of the Holy Spirit? I don't. I don't contain all of him. I don't. That's the truth. I mean, I know that there's that teaching that says, no, you don't need it, but I'm not listening to somebody teaching me that. I'm looking at the word, and I'm looking at what God does. I'm looking at what people need. I don't really care what one teacher says. You know, I'm just not into it anymore. I've really had it. But because I've seen, you know, like you pray for somebody, and sometimes you don't even get a chance to touch them. And the Holy Spirit, not even you, you know, intending him to come through you or anything, because that person actually needs his presence in a way. I haven't even asked, I haven't thought about it, and they start crying. Now, what is that, Jane? You know what I'm saying? Because he loves them. I don't want to put him in a box. He comes out of me. Yes, the Holy Spirit is in me, and I am so grateful. And I will intend him to be released and release his power and all that stuff. But when we even say, you know, the truth is, I think where we've got it a bit wrong, is the truth is, with the authority he's given us to release his power, we can release his presence in a room. That's okay. We're not being bad. We're not denying that he lives in us as well. Do you know what I'm saying? That's how I see it. Now, you can disagree or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's okay. I'm not going to be upset. It's just, I'm not going to put him in any box at all. I want him to talk to me about it. And I've also watched myself, you know, not just in a marketplace, but say with friends or at a church thing or whatever. It isn't always laying on of hands. It isn't always my intention of releasing him or whatever. And why can't I, if I have dominion here, why can't I, and I have the keys of the kingdom of heaven, why can't I release the Holy Spirit's presence in a room? What's wrong with that? I mean, I don't think
I don't think anything wrong with releasing it, because he lives, he's in us. I think we release him as we go.
Yeah.
I think we're just even walking into the room.
Yeah.
I just think even walking into a room is releasing the presence of the Holy Spirit, because he's in us.
Right. Well, I agree. Yeah, I agree with you there. But I also think he's not just only in us. He does come upon us. Do you know what I mean? He comes. I've had him fill my car with so much love, and I'm telling you, I was not releasing it. I mean, just hit me with like this overwhelming love. Now that's him upon me. And that, why, what I get curious about is, why is there seems to be this teach, this kind of, I look at it as narrow, but maybe, you know, other people wouldn't, that it's only in you. He's only in you. He's only in you. Well, I don't have the entire universe in me. And I don't have the presence of God in heaven, the entire presence and complete power of God in heaven in me. And I've got it all. Because then, well, I could save everybody. I could do it all. I could just sit in my living room and just pour it out to the entire world, and it's all going to be done. Just little old me. Do you know what I mean? I just don't see it like that. There is a God on the throne, you know? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I love that he can come upon, and he lives in, he dwells in, he's an indwelling spirit, and he's also, you know, out and about. And I mean, people have had him who aren't believers come upon them. It's happened to me before I was a believer, and there was nobody there, you know, no physical person was there.
Right.
So, you know, he's...
Well, I don't doubt that he can, but it's the whole teaching of, like, we're begging God to come down.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
To be there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty.
Mm.
You know, I'm like, no, you aren't. No, we aren't. Let's be grateful that we're not. We're filled up and we're righteous.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's been my soapbox lately. I'm like, you know, I just keep getting the picture of the people calling and they were calling for bail to light their fire.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. The ignorance
for God's to come.
Mm.
And yeah. So I don't know. It's just everything has been. I'm like going, all right. Am I just hyper aware of all this stuff now? But it's everywhere and it's in everything. And I'm just like going, oh my goodness.
Well, it can be a hyper awareness because of, you know, God either making you aware or whatever you're listening to makes you aware. You know, sometimes it isn't always God doing it. Sometimes it's because of what we're immersing ourselves in. And that's what you're going to get back. You know, you're looking, if we look at, for me.
You get what you see.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
I just said, you get what you see.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever you're seeking, you'll find.
Exactly. So, and I'm finding the best way to educate the church is not to, you know, browbeat them or whatever. And I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just saying I do see some people doing that. Browbeating the church is not going to get the bride up to do, to do the word. It's not going to do it. To encourage the church, to reveal to the church, to educate them is going to do it. Because I'm finding, I talk to a lot of believers and they really want to do this, but they have a lot of fear and they don't know how to get started.
Right.
And yelling at them and telling them how lousy they are and, how they're ineffectual and how unfaithful and everything is not going to help anybody. I mean, I'm looking at it like this, it's become a new legalistic trend. It's the legalism of you better be doing the word. You better be going out and praying for the sick or you're not a real believer. I think that's disgusting. And this is the bride of Christ they're talking about. He died for them. You know, I think people have to start watching their mouths about what they say because using the example of, oh, Paul did it to the, you know, to all the churches and whatever. Paul was in authority over those churches. He started those churches. These people are just mouthing off to anybody. They don't have authority over me. They don't have authority over these other people. I haven't given them that authority. And then the other side of it is, Jesus did it with the Pharisees. And so then they go all as sundry, you know, they could slap everybody in the head. The Pharisees didn't even believe in him for crying out loud, you know? We're talking about believers who are deceived, who need help to come out from under burdens and not to be reburdened with, now you better prove you're a believer by laying hands on the sick. That's the new burden. I've seen so many people hurt by that. And it isn't getting them off the couch either. You know?
Yeah, I think there's just that fine line because I see a bunch of people, all they do is go soak in the presence and that's all they do.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
Yeah.
Because who
wouldn't
want to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, and then, and those people, you know, and they you can pray for them. You can say, hey, once you soak, you can share, you know, or whatever. And, you know, we've got, there's extremes on both ends. And neither one is really healthy. Because I did the only doing of the word, and I'll tell you, it is an unhealthy way to live in God, and you're not really being with God in the way you're meant to be. Because if you are not spending enough time with Him, you are going to be either a hindrance to His kingdom being sought. Even if you go out there and do it, you're gonna upset people, you're gonna annoy people, you're gonna actually hurt people. I've seen it happen. I've done it myself. because I'm trying so hard to, you know, show that I'm doing the word rather than just, actually, I found God has shown me, he's flipped me and he's gone, I want you loving him first. You stop this other stuff. You stop performance. You stop doing this workspace, you know, ministry, and you love them. And through that love, you will pray for them and they will be healed. You know, so I, you know what I mean? We all, it's so funny. We all, it, and it depends on our personalities too. You know, I tend to be quite assertive or whatever. So I'm going to go out and do the doing and overdo. And he's had to really train me. And a part of it's been very painful, but I give him this scripture, not scripture, this prayer of Todd White's that I've taken because he said it's up for grabs, you know, shake what needs shaking, break what needs breaking, Lord, but have your way in and through me this day that all they see is Jesus in me. And that means he's had to bring up a lot of nasties, you know?
Yeah, I know.
For me to get over, you know?
I know what you say because, like, you know, coming out of that drill of the Word of Faith movement, which it's all good because it gets you in the Word. It gets you totally... you know, confessing things and being in the Word. And I mean, I started out, I think, with the Child's Caps. I have it somewhere. It's a great confession. It's somewhere on a site, I think, or I saved a copy of it. And it's, you know, it was like from 2000.
Yeah.
It was for the year 2000. And it was a 2-page thing. And I mean, every day I would just go read that, and confess that. It's good because it gets that in you. But then the teaching was, you know, almost it was too much, not him, but at where it was going. You know, I just kept feeling again, I'm like, something's not right here because now you're putting everything back on this person. Here's a person sitting there. They have cancer. They're coming to this healing teaching every week. And it's like, okay, we're going to pray. Now you stand on that because that's your faith. And if you don't have enough faith, then that's why you're not getting healed.
Oh, yeah. No, then the condemning. Yeah, no, the condemning isn't supposed to be there.
No. It's like, nope, we just pray once and that's it. And so that didn't feel right either because I kept thinking these poor people, they're feeling not only they don't have enough faith, now they're doubting their faith, and now they're feeling condemned that they don't have enough faith. You know what I mean? So there's that balance that you can go from one side to another, but I seem to shake things up wherever I go, and I'm in that shaking up stage because I think things need to be pointed out and shaken up.
Yeah, fair enough.
Might not be there long, but you know what? I don't know.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. The only thing I would say, because I mean, I tend to be somebody that thinks outside of the box and is often gotten into trouble in every area of my life. And now what I'm doing is if I see something wrong or that's not working, God is doing it in me through a much more gracious way. I'm finding now with some people, it's not going to work and they're not going to listen anyway. So it's pointless really. And I don't even go there anymore. Whereas in the past I would confront them. I'm not doing that. That's not my job. The Holy Spirit can convict people. I'm not going to run around, you know, trying to make them think differently. But what I have found is that God will give, he's given me a greater understanding of how to be gracious about what I'm learning and impart it to people in such a way that they're encouraged and they want to do that. And I love that because that is his nature. You know, he doesn't run around hammering people and telling them off, you know, you better believe in me or you're going to hell. You know, he doesn't do that. It's available. It's in front of them and they can choose or not choose, you know. So for myself, I'm finding that's what I'm tending to do. And And it's amazing, Jane? People want, those people who want to learn, want to understand, want to change, want to grow in Him, will be drawn to you because there you are. I see it like this. It's like being a fountain, and the water's pouring out, and they need that. And you're not making them come to the, you're not taking the fountain and shoving it in their face. You're just going, oh, here's this fountain. They're going, oh, wow, let's go over to that fountain. That looks really nice. And it's just very different. This is what I'm finding is happening with me, because I tend it to be very confrontational and in people's faces. And He's just changing that for me. And I'm not saying He's going to change that for you, or that He even needs to change that for you. That's between Him and you. I don't know. But in myself, that's what I'm looking at. And it's really nice, because people are, it's actually a nice experience for a change, not because I'm backing down, but because He's drawing them. And not all, some of the people will confront you and say, no, you're wrong, da 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 da. I'm not saying that everybody's all patting me on the back. It's just the people that actually want to learn what He's sharing with me are coming to me. And that's different. I don't know if that makes sense or not, or if you still can hear me. You still there, Jane? I don't know. And Bartek, can you still help here?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Have you been there the whole time?
Yeah. Yes, I was listening.
Oh, you're a good man. Okay. So
you were saying so many interesting things. Many things you were talking about were just answering from my questions.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad.
I got deep inside of me.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm surely not on the level of...
Keep going. I lost you there. I think it goes in and out.